Once again this morning in the bulletin, we've included an insert which has some notes that I would invite you to follow along as we go through this message together. And once again, we'll focus on the scripture sort of verse by verse as we go through it this morning. If you visit my study here at the church, you'll notice that I have a love for owls. I've collected a lot of owls over the years, most of them given to me as gifts. I have wooden owls, I have Thai Beanie Baby owls, I have owls from the Audubon Society that hoot when you press their stomachs. I have some owl calendars and candles in the shape of owls. And my favorite is a project that Betsy made for me some years ago with a large owl and two small owls standing on a piece of wood. And the owls represent three wise women, Betsy and our two daughters. And then I have this large pen and ink drawing on the wall that was a drawing of an owl that was given to me by a Bible study group some years ago. Well, actually, my love for owls started about 30 years ago, and it started as a result of a dream that I had that involved an owl. And I will spare you the details of this dream, except to tell you that I had this dream at a time when I was considering an invitation to take on another responsibility in addition to the many that I already had. And in this dream, this owl took a hold of me with its talons and would not let go. And it woke me up. And I had this powerful sense that God didn't want me to accept that invitation I had been given. In fact, I had this sense that God wanted me to let go of some things so that I could be the husband and father and pastor that God was calling me to be. And in time, I came to see that vivid, powerful dream as a gift to me from the Holy Spirit. And I have to tell you that this was not an isolated incident in my life. There have been other dreams at other times that have pointed me to some important lesson that I believe the Lord wanted me to learn. And I know that I'm not the only one that has had experiences like this. In fact, I can say with all my heart that God speaks to us in our dreams. Maybe it doesn't happen every day, but I know it does happen. When we are not conscious, when we are sleeping, often we're more available to receive the gifts that God would give us. Reading the first two chapters of Matthew's gospel, it is evident that on at least three occasions, God spoke to Joseph in his dreams. The first is here in our text for today, after Joseph learns that Mary, to whom he is engaged, is expecting a child. And the second dream occurs after the birth of Jesus, when Joseph is warned in a dream to flee to Egypt because of King Herod's plans to kill the Christ child. And then in yet a third dream, an angel tells Joseph that Herod has died and it's safe for him to take his family back home to Nazareth. When we're asleep and our guard is down, God can speak to us, and sometimes in powerful ways. But of course, our nighttime dreams are not the only kind of dreams we have. In fact, this is a season of dreams. Many of the songs we hear during this season, including even the ones we sang this morning, express big dreams for our world. One of my favorite songs of the season is one that Amy Grant sings. It's called My Grown-Up Christmas List. Perhaps you're familiar with it. This song expresses dreams of no more lives torn apart, that wars would never start, and time would heal our hearts, and every man would have a friend, and the right would always win, and love would never end. Wonderful dreams. You and I, we should never stop dreaming. In fact, as followers of Jesus, we are called to be dreamers of holy dreams. Because as we will see in this passage for this morning, our God has a big, big dream in this world. And God calls us to join in the fulfillment of it. Here in Matthew chapter 1, we learn some important questions about God's, some important lessons about God's big dream. And the first one is this. It's number one there in your notes. God's dream always points to the future because things are not yet as they can be or should be. Now, I do not have to tell you that things are not yet as they can be or they should be. This is true today, and it was certainly true at the time that Jesus was born. Jesus was born into a world that so badly needed a Savior. This gospel is sometimes referred to as Matthew's birth narrative, and yet it's not really a birth story in the way we might think of birth stories. It isn't really about how the birth of Jesus took place. It's really about how Joseph was woken up to new possibilities in this troubled world. The purpose of this story is really to open our eyes to the dream that God has, as God would point us toward a future, even before Joseph is aware of it. Even before his dream, Matthew reminds us that God's future is already underway. Look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Reading just that single verse, we recognize that there is a whole lot of drama that surrounds the birth of Jesus the Messiah. Matthew tells us that Mary and Joseph are engaged. Now keep in mind that in first century Judaism, people didn't choose their mates. There was no courtship. Young men didn't get down on one knee in some special place and pull out a ring and pop the question. The marriage of Mary and Joseph was likely arranged for them by their fathers. You know, in some parts of the world, marriages are still arranged. When Betsy and I were in India back in 2008, we got to know these two teenage sisters whose names were Winnie and Minnie. And they were nieces of Brother Henry, who ran the orphanage and medical clinic where we served as volunteers for 2 weeks. Winnie and Minnie led the singing at our worship services, and they were two beautiful Christian young women. Well, one day, Winnie and Minnie were with Betsy, and they asked her the strangest question. Mrs. Keller, they asked, do you and Pastor Keller have a low marriage or a high marriage? Well, thankfully, before Betsy answered, she asked them what they meant by that. And they told her that a low marriage is one where you choose your own spouse, and a high marriage is one where your parents choose your spouse for you. And Betsy quickly replied, well, we definitely have a low marriage. Winnie and Minnie told her that they were committed These two beautiful Christian young women were committed to having a high marriage. And they were trusting that their parents would choose just the right husbands for them. And that's how it was, that same way for Joseph and Mary. Trusting that their parents would find just the right mate for them. And so a transaction was made between their fathers. They were legally bound to each other. This was serious business. Engaged couples did not live together, and they certainly did not consummate their relationship before marriage. Just imagine then, Joseph, this young man, betrothed, learning that his Mary was pregnant. What must he be going through? Well, as we read this story with all of its drama, we already know what's going on. We know that already God's dream is pointing to the future as it can be and should be. And as we continue on in this story, we discover a second thing about God's dream. And that is, number two, that the fulfillment of God's dream is not humanly possible because it involves nothing less than the salvation of the world. Look at verse 19. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Matthew says Joseph was a righteous man. To be righteous means that he was someone who had a right relationship with God and with others. Joseph was a good man, a man of integrity, a man who loved God and loved his family and loved his community of faith. Joseph, a righteous man. He's not bitter or angry, or at least he doesn't show it. It's obvious that he does not want Mary to be hurt in any way. And so he decides just to keep it quiet. Maybe her mother could take her to a secluded place, a home for unwed mothers, perhaps. And then after the baby is born, they could bring him home and announce that her parents had had another child. A nice, neat, orderly, human solution from a righteous man who was trying to do the best he could in the midst of unbelievable circumstances. Joseph had it all figured out. And then he fell asleep. And there he was in La La Land. He was unconscious. And an angel of the Lord appeared. A messenger of God came, and he spoke those familiar words that angels were speaking all the time, "Do not be afraid." And in his dream, Joseph discovered that the fulfillment of God's dream that he was now part of was not going to happen by virtue of his own neat, orderly, human solutions, but it was going to involve divine intervention. You know, in some things, you and I can get along pretty well on our own. But human ingenuity and human effort cannot resolve everything we face. There are so many things in your life and mine that are not possible unless the Holy Spirit is involved in them. To live with chronic pain, to age with grace, to keep on living after a terrible loss, we need some help from God. To love as the Bible understands love. To love with the kind of love that sacrifices my own needs for the sake of others is not possible apart from the Holy Spirit. The healing of a broken relationship cannot happen without God being involved. A healthy, joy-filled marriage, children that grow up to love the Lord, a peaceful home, not possible really, apart from God. A healthy, loving, unified church that is passionate for opening doors with our neighbors. Why, we need the help of the Holy Spirit just as much as Joseph did. And what about the person that you are becoming? Often we hear people say, I know I've said it, there but for the grace of God go I. And it's true. Without God's grace, we could not become the people that God dreams for us to become. The world doesn't need any more self-made men and women. We have enough of those and they bring problems. What the world needs is men and women whose lives are far more than they can be because they are open to the influence of the Holy Spirit. The angel appears to Joseph in a dream and shows him what God wants to do in his life and shows him that it will not be possible without God's help. Because God's dream, the big, big dream that God has that now is going to involve Joseph, is a dream for the salvation of the whole world. The angel says, Mary will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. In fact, people would have called him Yeshua back then. Well, you remember who Joshua was. Joshua was the one that fit the battle of Jericho. And the walls came a-tumbling down. And so the name Yeshua literally means wall breaker. Jesus Messiah came into this world to break down walls. And when you think of it, that's really what Christmas is all about. It's about God in Christ breaking down walls. Walls that separate people from God. Walls of sin that for too long have been present. Walls that separate us from one another. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall. God has a big dream. a dream that is being fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. A dream that points to the future as it can be and should be. A dream that is not humanly possible, but requires divine intervention. And then there's a third thing we learn about God's big dream. Number three, those who are awake to God's dream are called to join in its fulfillment. Look at verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife. But he had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. One of my favorite dream stories is the French folktale entitled Papa Panoff's Special Day, as told by Leo Tolstoy. It's a story that perhaps you have already heard about an old shoe cobbler who reads the Christmas story and wishes he could give something to help the baby Jesus. When he puts the Bible down, he takes a small dusty box from a high shelf and opens it, and inside is the perfect pair of tiny leather shoes. Papa Panoff is so happy because he knows this is what he could give the small child if he could. And then he falls asleep in his armchair and he has a dream. And in the dream, he hears Jesus say to him, "You have been wishing that you could see me, Papa Panoff. Then look for me tomorrow. It will be Christmas Day and I will visit you, but look carefully, for I shall not tell you who I am." As the story continues, Papa Panoff's disappointment mounts because as he's waiting for Jesus, all he sees is beggars, a poor girl, a baby in need of shoes, and a dirty street sweeper. So he feeds them and gives his special shoes to the baby and still wonders why his dream is not yet fulfilled. Then Papa Panoff has another dreamlike experience. And he sees before his eyes the long stream of people that he had encountered that Christmas day. And he sees the old street sweeper and the young mother and baby and the beggars he had fed. And as they pass, each of them stops and whispers to Papa Panoff, "Didn't you see me, Papa Panoff?" And suddenly it dawned on the old shoe cobbler. He remembered what Jesus said in Matthew 25. "As you did it to the least of these who are part of my family, you did it to me." God has a dream. God is forever pointing to the future as it can be and should be. God's dream was revealed most beautifully in the one named Jesus, Yeshua, the wall breaker, the Messiah who came to bring salvation to the world. I love the words of Eleanor Roosevelt. She said, "The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams." What a beautiful dream God has revealed to you and me in the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer for you in these days before Christmas is that, like Joseph long ago, you will be awake to God's dreams. May you be open to the Holy Spirit, who is even now seeking to work in you and through you to love others in His name, to break down walls that divide, to work for a beloved community. Remember, as you do unto the least of these who are part of Christ's family, you do it unto Him. Emmanuel, God is with us. God who has a big, big dream for this world is with us and calls us to join in its fulfillment. May it be so. Amen.